Hey, here we are at the UFO Congress. I'm Jerry Pippin. Are we having fun yet? We certainly are. This is quite the traditional place to go for all kinds of people and interesting people. And I have a very interesting woman with us right now. And I think you'll enjoy this program. She's a certified hypnotist, a hypnotherapist, Yvonne R. Smith. And Yvonne, we've been running across each other for a couple of days now, and Paula Harris has talked to me about you, so I feel like you and I are old buddies.
We sure are, Jerry.
Yeah. Anyway, how are you?
I'm doing great, really enjoying my time here at the Congress.
Now, you've been here many times before as a visitor, but you've actually got a booth here and the whole thing this time.
Yes, I've over the last at least 10 years, I've attended the conference and met a lot of really nice people. Been invited when I was attending the Congress over the years, been invited to Brazil and England.
Well, and we just had a lady on from Ireland says you're going there.
I'm going there in September, which is going to be very exciting. My first time in Ireland. You know, Jerry, it's always a pleasure and interesting for me to present my work in other parts of the world.
I'm sure it is.
See what the similarities are.
And are they similar?
They're very similar, and that's what makes this this work so interesting and so intriguing, because this is not just a California phenomenon, it's worldwide.
Let's talk a little bit about that in detail here in just a moment. You said the work and my work. Exactly what are we talking about here?
What I do, Jerry, I'm a certified hypnotherapist. My clients come to me because they, for many years, have gone through some very strange occurrences in their lives, and they're finally coming to terms to making sense out of what may have happened. They don't come to me and say, I think I've been abducted. They just know that they may have had some time missing, that they woke up with strange marks on their bodies overnight, uh-huh, that they can't explain. So what I do in my work, I regress them back to a particular time and place, perhaps when they were a young child, or 10 years, you know, 10 years ago, or maybe last year.
Now, when you regress people, and they, not all of them appear to have been abducted, or is that true? All of them are.
Not everyone.
Okay.
Not everyone. And there's been instances where I've had to refer them to other colleagues.
Yeah, the reason I ask you that is because some people seem suspicious or convinced that maybe they've had an abduction experience or a contact experience. But it's not always true. I mean, right? They might think they have, and they haven't.
Exactly. And that's why this work has to be taken very seriously. What I do is I set up an initial consultation with my potential client before I even begin regression to get some background on that person. I have them fill out a life history questionnaire. I find out if they've been to other traditional therapists. So there is a process that happens way before regression starts.
Do you remember the first time that you felt that you actually had a regression where there was an abduction experience? That had to be a kind of a milestone, as they use in business today, in your career.
I do remember back, and I've been doing this for about 15 years now, and yes, I remember when
the reason I ask you that, I was wondering whether or not you anticipated that's what you would find.
You know, I do not go into a session anticipating anything.
Okay.
And I don't go into a session
And there's no hidden reason for that question, by the way. I'm not trying to lay out something that...
Right. No, I understand.
Yeah,
I understand
okay,
the
okay.
questioning. But I also do not ever plan a session. I don't go in saying, okay, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to ask. And I don't know what's going to happen in a session, so I just... And the client that's in hypnosis, in regression, that's my first priority. make sure if they go into some kind of disturbance or trauma, because they do relive the trauma.
What are the odds of people who really still have traumatic experiences when they're in regressing? I mean, is about half the people, a third of them, or rarely? Or?
No, it's probably, I would say, at least half the people. What happens is they actually relive the traumatic experience. But a skilled hypnotherapist will be able to guide that person through the session and give them suggestions so that they're reporting it and not reliving the trauma or the pain.
Now what is your overall impression of what's going on with this abduction experience? Is it more or less one thing going on? Or is it always the same thing? In other words, is it a method of creating hybrids, or is it something else? Do you have a hunch?
The evidence shows, Jerry, that because they take ova from women, because they take sperm samples, because people are shown these tiny hybrid babies when they're on the craft, they also see adolescents. And they don't quite look
it
like
seems
us.
To me that it's almost pro forma that the mother does get to see the hybrid child at some time.
It
almost
do.
Always happens, doesn't it?
Almost always happens, but not just with the mother.
I've had a couple of guys tell me that they've been and shown their child.
They present the babies to the men.
One fellow was pretty emotional about it.
Absolutely.
And I was thinking at the time, I always thought that was more of a feminine reaction because it was literally out of their body. But I guess it's more or less the same thing.
It is, and I've had so many male clients become emotional as well when they reporting that they're being shown this child, and they're being told you have to love this child or show it love in order for this child to thrive and to live. And I have, you know, in my lecture presentation, I have artwork of.
Now, in your upcoming book, you have lots of artwork.
Lots of artwork. That was done by a professional artist, but also I have artwork done by the experiencer themselves, because that's all part of their therapy, is to draw what they remember during the course of their regression.
How many of these things have you done?
Regressions?
Hundreds?
Oh, I've done hundreds. I worked with
Is it more or less always the same thing, the same story?
Pretty much. The similarities are amazing, and these people don't know each other.
Right. I understand that. But from the same standpoint, this is so different than everyday life experiences. I guess even though you may have done it 400 times, 500 times, each time you probably are on a little edge when you're finding out about it.
Well, I'm still amazed after all these years of the details that come out during a regression and the emotion that is associated with these details that are coming out from a male or female client.
Yeah, I understand that. I've interviewed quite a few on the air in places like this. People come up, and it's almost like a therapy. They want to talk about it.
You know, that's the beginning of the healing process, is when they begin to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
They're no longer holding this inside of them, and many of them have held it inside of them for many years. And it's just something that's haunting them, and they can't get on with their lives.
How long do you think this has been going on?
Oh, my gosh. For, at least with the abduction accounts, you know, of course, as far back as the now famous case of Betty and Barney Hill, that happened in the early 60s.
I mean, it seems that some of these things run in families.
They do run in families. It's intergenerational.
So did it start with even them, or maybe even before them? We wouldn't know, but maybe this has been going on before that. We don't really have any idea, do we?
Well, in the research for my book, I've gone back about 2 to 3 generations, but of course it's difficult to go back
further
than that, because a lot of the family members, of
here.
Course, are deceased.
Right.
But this starts in childhood. It follows the person throughout their lives. And as I mentioned, it is intergenerational, so their children are going to experience it. and their children.
So that's probably traumatic, too, because that's pretty well... there are support groups where these people get together and talk that have been abducted.
Yes, I founded my support group, Close Encounter Resource Organization, in 1991. And because I realized that after the client left my office, many times there was no one to talk to. They couldn't talk to their family members. They couldn't talk to coworkers. And so I formed the organization to provide them a safe haven once a month to come together and discuss what happened to them.
Now the big question, Yvonne, is you've obviously been involved in this for a long time, and it's one of your interests. How about your personal experience? Have you been abducted?
I have not, Jerry. I believe, and I'm asked that all the time, and I believe that...
Well, I didn't want to let you down and not ask it.
Well, okay.
Right.
Of course not. Why should you be different? I believe that I'm able to do this work. I have the gift to do this work, to help people along with their lives, because there is a need out there. Abduction researchers are very few and far between.
And I imagine, from what I gather from talking to people, you can get the wrong person to help you go through this, and it's not good.
That's the problem. I always caution people when I'm lecturing in different places that if they're looking for someone, to be careful that the person is qualified as a certified hypnotherapist, because it takes a skilled person to facilitate, to be their facilitator in this sort of work.
And how come you feel, and you're obviously, capable, so I'm not saying you're not, but how come you feel you're capable to do this work?
I think anyone...
Does it take a certain amount of compassion and passion?
It definitely does.
And understanding?
Jerry, it's like anyone can take the classes, the psychology classes, and so forth to be certified, but not everyone can do particular work. I think that runs in any profession.
Any field, right.
At times I feel like I have an inner gift, like a detective, like a police detective.
Sure.
You just know... whether this person is actually experiencing an abduction or an encounter, or if they actually need further help.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we all, if we are attuned to ourselves, know more or less what we can do and what we can't do, whether we want to admit it or not. And many years ago, when I was doing music radio as a regular disc jockey, I said, I want to do these kind of shows. And the person that was backing me said, well, you've never done anything like this. Why do you think you can do this? And we're putting a lot of money behind you, and you better be able to deliver. Basically, they said that in nicer terms, maybe.
Right,
But the point is that we know if we're doing a good job, and you feel like you're doing a good job.
I do, and it's not, patting myself
back,
Jerry.
It's not an ego thing. I'm talking about you just know you're doing it.
But only because I've seen...
You've seen the results.
The results, the healing. I have my clients calling me that I worked with several years ago and thanking me again for allowing them to open up and discover what was actually happening to them, and they're able to get on with their lives.
Are you taking more clients?
Oh yes, and I get.
And they can find you on the website.
On the website, yes, and I get referrals from all over. I get emails now from everywhere. I just wish I could help everyone who's spread out in different areas.
That was my next question. Do you do things by phone, or does it have to be personal? I mean, I don't know how you'd hypnotize me on the phone. Maybe you can.
I've done...
You got nice eyes, so maybe you can. But you can't see that on the phone either.
I've done other therapies via telephone, but I'm still
not sure about doing
regression, because that's
okay.
A whole different ballgame.
We got a break here coming up, and we'll be right back. And I want to get into a little bit of some of the cases you've worked on and... talk about your upcoming book and some of the other places you're going. We'll be right back, and this is Jerry Pippin, and we're broadcasting from the UFO Congress And we have the lovely Yvonne R. Smith. And so don't go away. It happened almost 60 years ago, but the debate still rages. Did an alien spacecraft crash outside Roswell, New Mexico in 1947? The most concise and complete series ever broadcast on Roswell, direct from Roswell. New programs added weekly. Check it out on the UFO Congress on JerryPippin.com. This is Jerry Pippin, and Yvonne R. Smith is our guest, and we're talking about hypnoregression, hypnotherapy, and we're talking about her experiences with abductees, and you have an upcoming book. What are you going to call this book?
The working title right now, Jerry, is Worlds Around Us, but I may include a subtitle as well.
And your sample book that you gave me here has lots of illustrations. And evidently, from what I understand from talking to you and other people, I believe Paula Harris told me, you use lots of illustrations, graphics, pictures, things like that in presentations.
Yes, I do. As I gathered all this information throughout the years from all of my cases, I thought it was important to present this to the audience. And what I'm trying to do is educate the general public and mainstream media that this is an actual event. This is a physical event that's going on with millions of people.
Are most of the women damaged for life because the fetus was taken, or do they pretty well live with it?
Well, that's where the therapy comes in,
uh-huh,
to start the healing. Now, I've had many of my clients that's happened to, but they've gone on and had their own children, Earth children,
yeah, yes,
and living, productive, happy lives. So, but it
we're obviously talking not like something out of the old times where the giants came in the spaceship and grabbed the women and had their way with them. We're talking about implantation of a sperm.
Right.
It's not a sexual act. Actually.
It's not at all. It's a very clinical.
We got cynical using the female body as a warehouse.
That's right, and that's exactly what it is. They're used basically as incubators.
Uh-huh.
Then they're shown. They have these very strange pregnancies. They feel pregnant. They know they're pregnant, and then all of a sudden they're not pregnant overnight. These fetuses are taken from their bodies.
Now, I talked to a person yesterday that not here, not even at this hotel, but across the street in a little restaurant, and they said they were very happy when the baby was taken. They said they had a party. Had you ever heard of that before on the ship? The people came and they the ETs and everybody, and they took the baby and they showed it. More or less, I'd never heard that kind of story before.
Well, nobody used the term having a party, but they were aware of being surrounded by other alien beings, as if being observed. Their reaction
was
observed.
This woman took it as a happy event, and maybe that was just her reading of it and the way she could deal with it.
It was probably a happy event on their part.
Well, yeah.
That here's another, we've created another hybrid, mm-hmm, and maybe that's what she was interpreting, but on the part of the woman.
What's the angle on the hybrids? What are they doing here?
You know, it seems over the years, in very recent years, it looks like the hybrids are becoming more and more perfected, so that eventually they'll be able to live among us, and we wouldn't be able to tell. For what reason, we
you
don't
know.
You
know, I have people telling me they already are, and they may well be, or they may not be, but this has been going on for a while. And the theories we have, if you follow a hybrid program, that can't be really good. There's something going on there.
Well, that's what's a little disturbing, because we still don't know what their ultimate plan is. I mean, obviously, these hybrid babies start growing into, you know, children, adolescents, teenagers, and we don't know, you know, really what the purpose is. Basically,
the program, as far as you can tell, I imagine, and maybe I'm wrong on this, and if I am, you tell me, seems to me that they're creating half humans, half whatever these aliens are.
Yes, and that's what it is. But however, they're being so perfected now that they will no longer look like hybrids, as we call them. The babies are still, when they're created...
Well, what happens to the ones that you see that are obviously half alien, and now they have children by this perfection of implantation or whatever? I don't know how they do it. But the second or third generation down to perfect this thing, I wonder where these other half beings are. Are they on the ship? Or?
Well, that's, you know, we assume that they're still on the craft.
Yeah.
And because if they were down here, we'd be able to,
they are. No one has really ever told you during regression, because they probably don't know. It seems like it's a very controlled thing, the regression.
It's a controlled, yes. And
you know, they're in an area and they see you very little. And
even when they ask a question, what are we doing? Why are you doing this? So many times they're not given a definitive answer. They're given a roundabout or nonsense answer. So it's almost that, you know, they're performing their, you know, operation. And
Do you have a sense of who these ETs are? Or is there more than one race? More than...
Well, I believe there's many races. I mean,
in your regression therapy, if they describe beings doing this to them.
Oh, yes.
They're different.
And I'll have a lot of illustrations, you know, in my book, of course, but the small, what we call grays now, the hairless with the big eyes, seem to be the abductors taking the people onto the craft, and then they come across the taller grays, but seem to be a little bit more in charge, that perform some of the medical experiments. Then there's the praying mantis type, who also seem to be a little bit more in charge. And then the very human looking,
the Nordic type or whatever.
And what we feel, those are the hybrids.
And have we figured out who's the, you know, you mentioned the chain of command there. I wonder who's on top, who the big dog is.
Well, that's what it seemed to be. That it's really funny that the taller ones, I've come across taller caped aliens with black capes that also seem to be of the higher echelon.
Oh, really?
But who the big cheese is, you know, I don't know who the ultimate head honcho is, but it does follow, you know, a chain of command up when once they're on the craft.
They don't actually come back and get the same woman again, do they? For another,
they do.
They do.
Oh, yeah, they do. It's an ongoing process.
In other words, they don't give them a break.
They may have a break of about a year or two at times for some reason, but then it's...
Do you think that they select this woman because of genetics and physical reasons, or do you think it's just easy to keep it in the family?
You know, we're not sure why someone is quote-unquote mm-hmm. selected, but we know that once the abductions begin... with that particular person, it just follows the family line, and it really is a cross section.
And no one's ever explained to anybody why they were chosen.
Right, not really. But the ones that are having these experiences are told that when the time comes and when the time is right, they will know what their purpose is. And there, I think just every one of my cases has been told that.
Well, by that statement, it seems like maybe it won't be too long.
Well, Jerry, I don't know. That's what we've been saying since the year 2000.
Yeah.
There's going to be this big revelation, and, you know, I don't think, I'm not going to
You're not one of these that thinks you're going to find out. I'm not even talking necessarily officially. If events overtake official actions, there's not much the officials can do about it, is what I'm saying. If eventually you'll know something, then that indicates that maybe something will happen down the line. And I'm not talking about you'll pick up the newspaper mm-hmm. and read the official communique. I'm talking about it will be obvious why everybody's... Now, I've had some abductee people think that maybe they're going to be used for something. In other words,
that's the thing. I was talking to the experiencers when I was conducting the sessions the last two nights, and I asked for a showing of hands of how many people were told that they have a special function, or they're going to be, you know, we'll use the term ambassadors to hundreds, leading hundreds of people. Where they're going to lead them, they don't know.
In other words, you think it's just as likely that they might become goodwill ambassadors as my fear that they may become stepwives. In other words...
That's the thing, Jerry. Yeah, we don't know. Yeah, I mean, okay. It'd be wonderful to say, you know, this is all going to be for the good, you know, but the evidence points to, you know, these hybrids being perfected... You know, and they're going to be put here on Earth, and for what purpose?
Do most of these women and men, but mainly the women I'm interested in, but there's a lot of men involved, aren't they, in the procreation?
Absolutely.
Does the rest of the family know they've done this? I mean, they don't even tell their family, their mates sometimes, do they?
Many times they don't, but... Once they start talking, start going through the process of regression, they're very curious about their family members, and they'll start talking and asking questions.
Well, yeah, you would think, well, I did it. I wonder if I've been doing it to my wife.
Oh, yeah.
That would be
And there have been, I've had many couples, many married couples that this has happened to.
You're right.
But it's a process. It's a process with these people, and they start finding answers, and that's where, as I mentioned before, that's where the healing begins.
Well, we're talking with Yvonne here, and it's been very interesting. I think the time is almost up. I'm not sure. I know you're going to be in Roswell.
Yes, I will be. I'm very excited. I cannot believe, Jerry, that it's already the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident.
And that's one reason I brought that up, not only to mention you're going to be there, and we'll be there too, so our paths will cross there for
sure.
Wonderful. In fact, there we'll probably do some shows very similar to this, only we're going to have an audience with a chance for them to, and we'll be the only show in town. Instead of here, we're in the lobby.
Oh, that'll be wonderful.
So the audience can ask you questions. And here, we don't do that because we don't want to interfere with the regular program.
Right. Oh, that'll be great, Jerry. It'll be great to see you there.
Yeah, and so we'll have fun doing that. By that time, your book may be out, huh?
That's what I'm talking to my editor and publisher and saying that we've got to do this. You know, it's a lot of work. I'm still making changes and adding. I'm going to have a lot of color photos. So keep your fingers crossed for me, Jerry, that I'm going to have my book there.
I'm pulling for you.
Thank you.
Where are you going to be? You're going to be in Ireland in September or December?
Well, Ireland in September.
Okay.
And also up in the Bay Area in September. I will be in Rome in late March.
Oh, well, you get the world traveler here.
Oh, I love it. I just love sharing and presenting my work to the European audience.
How is that audience? They seem to be a little more open to me. I have about 35% of our listeners are overseas.
They are very open. When I have spoken a couple times to the Italian audience, I might have people coming up to me afterwards and saying, you know, and they've had to have somebody interpret. But they're saying that this has happened to them when something that some visual that they see strikes a chord within them.
Need to pick up on your Italian a little bit, I guess.
I do. I can understand it because I can speak a little Spanish, so it's helped me when I'm in Italy.
Oh, como está usted?
Okay. Muy bien, Jerry.
That's about it.
That's about it.
Now I'm in trouble. Let's see. We've enjoyed it. Keep looking out for Yvonne R. Smith and her book. And when it comes out, we'll let you know. And we'll see her in Roswell. She has a website. What's the website?
www.ysmith.com.
And we will stay in touch. And it's been a pleasure meeting you.
Jerry, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, we'll be right back with more of the UFO Conference, so don't go away. The biggest secret ever is about to be revealed. Fast Walkers. UFO and alien disclosure.
Words you were never meant to hear.
It's clear we're dealing with a cosmic Watergate.
This is the biggest secret in the history of the human race, the known modern history of government.
Photos you were never meant to see. Video you never knew existed. People you were never meant to meet.
As Jack Nicholson would say, you can't handle the truth.
Essentially everything that you would want to know has been covered up.
Things you were never meant to know about.
No one has produced a higher quality, better produced DVD. Anytime, anywhere. Fast Walkers now available on DVD for only $19.95 at shopjerrypippin.com. Jerry Pippin with the UFO Congress, and it's Old Home Week, it seems like. Robert Miles, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jerry. It's good to be here with you.
Glad to see you in Laughlin. You just came off another event in Phoenix for Fast Walkers in high-definition widescreen. And the next showing, what, will be in Montreal?
It's actually in Toronto.
Oh, yeah, Toronto. Okay, well, I was close.
March the 7th.
Yeah, not too close, but same country.
You bet. Well, they're working hard up there to put on a really good show, and I'm sure it'll be a good one.
Now, what's going to happen there with Fast Walkers? You're going to show it in a theater someplace or at the convention or what?
It's actually being shown in a large auditorium up there. I think there's about almost 600 seats, so it's going to be a real challenge to get the public out to come and watch the picture and then also
Now, what's the charge for that? Do you know?
I think the charge is $10.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's well worth that. As I said, we had Paula in it and me, so...
You bet. We got a lot of great people in Fast Walkers, and we had a really great premiere in Phoenix. Sorry you weren't there, Jerry.
Well, we were planning on doing, but events got us. As you know, we've been here for two or three days, and we haven't had time to visit very much. A lot of people think I'm... out playing around, but really we got a lot of work to do.
I think you're probably doing a comedy routine in one of the clubs little stand-up there.
Yeah, well, I got to pay for my expenses, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about, we're going to try to get you to go to Roswell, and I'm going to try to get you and Paula together in some sort of little presentation, and maybe a couple other people.
Yeah, what would be great is if we could actually get a theater complex in Roswell to participate and go ahead and show the movie for a week there. I think we'd get tremendous response from the general public and for the people attending the UFO week there.
Now when will you get here to a big congress? This is where you filmed a lot of this Fast Walkers DVD.
Yeah, we actually filmed here.
I mean,
here
because you see a lot of people here that are experts.
You bet. You get a chance to meet a lot of the great great people that have done the research over the years and have the credentials and are definitely worth listening to. Also, we filmed a lot of it in Germany. We filmed some in people's backyards. We filmed some in Washington, D.C. as well. So there's actually a lot of locations.
I know. Where did you get Paula and Father Balducci or whatever his name was?
Geraldo Balducci.
Forgive me,
Paula.
Okay.
Yeah, were actually filmed in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
At the X Conference there, put on by Steve Bassett.
In fact, speaking of Steve Bassett, he'll be on here a little bit. I just saw him a while ago.
Yeah, Steve's a real powerhouse. He really works hard at getting the word out
there. Yeah, I mean, he spent some time in Sholo with you.
Yes, he did. We had a very successful premiere in Sholo, and we had a lot of
Well, you know, the thing, and I guess you're running. The thing I like about it, Robert, is that when you did the thing in Sholo, even though you lived there at least part of the time, you weren't even aware of how many people came out of the woodwork that have had experiences and sightings and actual contacts.
You bet. It is the home of Travis Walton, as you know, Jerry, Fire in the Sky.
Right, we had him on the air with us at that premiere.
Yeah, and there were an amazing number of people, as there are everywhere you go, that are. You know, maybe a little hesitant at first to share their stories and what's happened to them in their life, but the minute they see the movie and they start interacting with other people in the audience, they come right out and tell you about the things that happened in their life to them and their families. And
I imagine some of that happens here as soon as they figure out who you are. Yeah. When you start talking to somebody and suddenly dawns on them. Have anybody come up? Well, I've had a couple of people come up and tell me some interesting contact experiences already.
Oh, I have too. And you know, it's this group of people at this event, of course, are very receptive. But one of the goals of Fast Walkers was to present a motion picture in a manner that the general public, somebody that wasn't really familiar with the entire body of evidence, could sit down and in one setting get a pretty good dose of all the information from the leading authorities and get it in a concise and organized manner.
Now, I've told you this before, so it's no secret I'm a fan, not only because you put me in there only for 45 seconds, but you know,
I only got a minute and a half. I had a ride on a spaceship.
I may have been close to you. I may have been that long.
Yeah.
I've told you before, I thought you did an excellent job with Fast Walkers because you cover almost all of the things that we talk about in ufology. And you put it in an order that works. Now you're an old Hollywood screenwriter, and you've written this book before. We've talked about Safe Space and your foundation and all that kind of stuff. So you know, it's not like you're somebody brand new in this, but still, it had to be a job putting that into some sort of order, some sort of sense, some sort of showmanship production. It's great.
Right. Well, I appreciate the fact that you liked it. It was a challenge because there were a lot of topics, a lot of things to cover, and I thought it was really important to put the emphasis of the picture not only on the past, because most UFO movies, of course, go into just the past and a lot of the different crashes and things, but we tried to bring out the whole context of exopolitics. And also the idea that there's hope for the world, that, you know, that we can actually change the conditions and that we can better the planet, and that what we need is disclosure. What we need is for the governments of the world and the people that are in the know to bring the public the information that's out there on the new energies and the kind of things that can benefit and help mankind.
Yeah, that's one reason I got it brought around to the conversation with this. You're a big booster in the theme of theory, the idea behind exopolitics. I know that from personal experience talking to you. You're very positive, more positive than I am even about it. You think we can do something?
I really think that we can do something, and part of it comes from the fact of my own personal experience with these extraterrestrial beings was a very positive experience, and it was an enlightening experience, and it brought home to me the idea that the world can change and that things can get better, and this can become a garden planet, and that we can regain our rightful heritage to the stars. And I think that's the hope that mankind has dangling before them like a carrot, whether they want to choose a path of destruction and violence and war, or whether they want to take the leap into the creation of the future of a planet that doesn't have the shortages and the poverty and the misinformation that we've been fed down through the centuries.
That brings us around to your Safe Space activities. How is that going? Is that still on the back burner? I mean, it had to go back there because of the Fast Walkers production. That took all your time.
Sure. Well, Safe Space, of course, is based on my contact experience and on my book, Safe Space. But the idea that over the coming years that we will take on additional projects like the Fast Walker movie is very heartening to me, because what emerged from the original Safe Space undertaking was the Fast Walker team coming together to do the movie. And although it took 3 years, and although it took our own money and a lot of dedication, we were successful in doing it. So I have a lot of hope for the future projects that we intend to do through Safe Space.
And you've
as
had
well.
Pretty good experience with this movie already, but I have a hunch it's going to really last for a while. It's going to be a classic.
Well, good.
You didn't enter in the thing here,
yeah,
did you?
Yeah, we sure did. We're in three categories. Okay. We're in full-length documentary, UFO-related theme documentary, and also best music score.
Well, this show will be posted overnight, so we still won't know whether or not you won or not.
Well, we can hope, Jerry. That's for sure.
Well, that's great. Now, you going to do another project anytime soon, or are you just still busy with this one promoting it, I imagine?
Well, this one has been a big job promoting it, and because we're such a small team, a lot of that has landed on my shoulders and also on everybody in the team. So we're getting through. We just had the Phoenix premiere, which was very successful. We had hoped that even a greater number of the public would come out, but we did have a good crowd. We had well over 240 people there that came out to see the film on a Wednesday night. That's a work night, of course, for many people. And then we're going here at the Congress. We're going to have a good showing. I think we'll have a good response here. Then Toronto. And then, of course, as you've talked about, Roswell, and we need to...
And there's some time in between there, so I'm sure Fast Walkers will be appearing elsewhere, too.
Absolutely.
If there's somebody listening that might want to help you out in that area, what's the movie theater have to have? What kind of facility does it have to have?
Well, because the movie is done in HD digital, the person has to have a high-definition projection system. Now, it doesn't have to be at the level that we used in Phoenix, because there are different levels of projectors. And, of course, it can actually just be shown off the DVD in a standard situation.
Now,
like
you do that occasionally. You do that occasionally.
That's correct, yeah.
In fact, you have a little portable deal, and I know you've had a couple of meetings like that.
You bet.
Can they go to your website and contact you? Maybe would you be willing to go someplace to do something like that?
Well, what we'd like to have is someone come together and do the promotion and pull the facility together and help do some of the legwork and the groundwork, because that's what it takes. As you know, Jerry, you've been in the entertainment business for...
Well, we don't want to get how long.
But it takes a lot of good
promotion.
No, folks,
they did have talkies.
We're going to
take a break here in a minute, but when we come back, I want to talk to you about some of the things near and dear to your heart about this whole operation and the whole thing.
Great. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, this is Jerry Pippen. We're broadcasting from the UFO Congress, and we'll be right back.
Tales of the strange and the unknown. Every month in Fate magazine.
Fate magazine has actually been published continuously since 1948. That makes it the longest-running publication of its kind. From psychics and spiritualists, archaeological hotspots and fringe science, to authoritative UFO and paranormal investigations, Fate articles are factual, informative, and entertaining. Subscribe to Fate magazine today. Simply go to FateMag.com, FateMag.com, or check it out at your local newsstand. Fate magazine is a favorite for people looking for answers and for people looking for entertainment.
Fate.
Tales of the strange and the unknown.
We're at the Aquarius Casino Resort on the beautiful Colorado River in Laughlin, Nevada, at the UFO Congress. And Robert, what kind of vibes are you getting around here?
The
reason I asked it, you're an in touch sort of guy.
Well, we're getting real good vibes. We're getting introductions to a lot of people. We're meeting people from the field, from all over the world, and getting a chance to be in contact. And also, I'm very fortunate. I've got my friend and lover here with me, and she's been talking to people Yeah, her name is Fran, and she was very instrumental.
I've talked to Fran. She's a nice lady, and she's sitting next to us over here.
Yeah, and she was instrumental in getting the book safe space out there.
I have a weakness for redheads
Is that, well, I don't blame you.
Yeah, evidently you do, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. But it's nice to be here with among friends and also with associates and be able to get a feeling for Fast Walker on the ground, because this is where, you know, the rubber hits the road.
Have you ran across a lot of people that have seen it?
Well, you know, it seems like a lot of people have seen it because there's been a lot of DVDs that
firsthand. Have you got anybody that wants to critique you yet, or is a excellent job, or any?
Oh
feedback?
Yeah, we've had a lot of good reviews. A couple of people think it could be a little shorter. That there's so much information in it, it's a little hard to digest all that information in one sitting. And of course, that's why.
Did you tell them you scaled it down?
Yeah.
And it took a long time to get it down as short as it was.
That's the truth.
How long is it?
It's 98 minutes.
That's not all that long. It's about the right length, yeah. Really.
But in the first cut, it was 122 minutes, and that was just too long. And I think that probably as time goes on, there will probably be another adapted version for television, possibly that, you know, drops into the one-hour slot or something.
Yeah, you're going to have to get it down to 48 minutes. We've got to put commercials in there.
Yep.
Or I guess we could have a two-hour extravaganza.
Yeah, well, we hope for that. That's the ideal situation, is a two-hour program.
I've often thought that the things that you did on this DVD would make an excellent TV show. That sort of upfront and personal touch on stories, yet some good visuals and good graphics, good sound. Excellent production in this thing.
Well, thank you. I think all the elements are there, and I think bringing together the top people in the world certainly helped it, but also getting the help of people from all over the world sending pictures and telling their stories and giving us the material that we used. And, of course, there was over 50 hours of material that we selected it from. So it was a very challenging, daunting process, and we had a lot
of... Okay, so what do you think of the state of ufology today, and what's turning you on and turning you off?
Well, the thing I like about it is that there are some very dynamic people involved. The thing that I really don't understand is why they haven't all come together, created a huge database, and created a wave, Jerry, that would take this information in mass A out to the public. And I would really like to see that happen. I'd like to see someone get behind the idea of joining forces, a little more cooperation to get the whole thing out and maybe make the impact greater felt.
You know, there's not a more cutthroat business in the world, as you know, than broadcasting. And we get along a lot better than many of the ufologists. I mean, talk about fellow broadcasters. I don't quite understand what's happening there either. So I can't really give you any advice. I think people just need to understand we're talking about information, and the more it's justified and the more it's out, probably you'll be better off. In other words, I have a philosophy. I always try to hang around. When I used to be on live radio, I like to be on stations with lots of great talents rather than me being the, you know, a lot of guys want to do it the other way. They want a lot of poor people and then them. Well, I always felt if I was around a lot of great people that were very talented, then they'd figure I probably was too, just by the company. And I think that's kind of the way that ufologists ought to think about this. If they've got information and they start sharing it, I think... They all talk about the common thread here, but a lot of them don't follow it.
I have
a lot of people, though, that do, and we have some nice people in this organization, I mean, all the way around.
Oh, you bet. And I think that's the one theme that we've heard from Fast Walkers, is that we brought together the different people within ufology in a manner that there is a coherent picture and a coherent message, and that people can get it in one setting. And I think that's really the strong point of Fast Walkers, and I think that's why it'll be successful out there, why it is enjoying the success that it is.
Now, when you were overseas in other countries doing part of this and other things that you've done, is there a difference of attitude? There seems to me, I'm one of the few people, I have not been a world traveler. I've been too busy spending my time in Las Vegas around casinos. So I haven't been able to get out and see the real world. It seems to me they're more enlightened in Europe.
Well, they're certainly open to.
I'm talking about UFOs.
Yeah, they're certainly open to the subject, and you know, there's a lot of agreement that it's a real thing out there, that it's not just a bunch of kooks and things. But, you know, like you have everywhere, it seems like in this field, you still get that labeling going on because of the massive amounts of disinformation that have been put out there about the whole thing, the propaganda and the spin, Jerry.
Yeah, now we're not going to go into the contact you've had because it's on our website and people can go over there, click on the Robert Miles picture, and they can hear you getting on the plane to Jupiter. But we'll talk about some other things about that.
Sure.
And basically, when did this first contact happen with
you?
Well,
it happened in 1971 when I was living aboard my boat in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Now, you've been a sailor most of your life, and you're living in the desert. Now, tell me the connection.
Well, there really is. It's more of a disconnection than a connection.
Okay.
I miss it, Jerry. I miss it a lot. Mm-hmm. And part of my goal is to go ahead and build that big ship that you see on the cover of the book, the Safe
right.
Space One, because that'll put me back on the water.
Yeah. Yeah. What is it about? Now, you lived on a boat even. What is it about? I've been in the desert and been in Oklahoma, so I haven't been many places. I've been every place in the United States because of my career, but what is it about the ocean that attracts you? Poetry's written about it, music's written about it, documentaries?
Well, I think there's several components. One of them is the feelings of independence that you have. When you actually have a vessel that's totally set up and you live aboard and you can travel anywhere in the world on it, and you have this feeling of independence and a certain kind of security, but this security is actually very insecure because the ocean can be magnificent, it can be gentle, and it can be sweet, but it can also be a terrible, fearsome, scary place to be.
You ever been caught out in a big storm?
Oh, I've been in several, Jerry, and every time I vow I'll never go back aboard the boat again, and I'll if I ever get to land, if I survive this,
yeah, that's
I'll
kinda,
never go back.
Like, Lord, just let me win this next hand. I'll never gamble again. And that, of course, next week.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the ocean is like that. It gives you the most beautiful feelings of serenity and peace and tranquility, and there's also a kind of a euphoric energy about it that I think you can only experience if you're out there. And of course, there's no dirt, Jerry. That's another thing. Most people, you know, they are really amazed because there's no dust and dirt.
Yeah, I started to say, you don't have a dust storm.
That's right.
And where you live and where I live, we have them. Yeah. And had some recently, as a matter of fact. How about, tell a little bit about this project with the boat that you want to build and why you want to build it. Not just because Robert wants to hang around on the third deck or whatever you call it up there.
Right, that's a poop deck.
Okay.
You know why they call it the poop deck?
Yeah,
right?
That's where the toilets are. But anyway, no, I don't know.
Well, in the old days, that's where the sailors used to go. But the reason we want to build the ship is it would, first of all, be a totally self-contained unit that would be capable of traveling the oceans of the world under the most wonderful conditions, using modern technology, the integration of common sense, technology, love. There's also an incredible feeling that comes from building and creating something. I mean, it doesn't, whether it's a farm that you build or whether it's a buggy.
Well, I mean,
car.
Is this going to be a hospital ship or something, or what are you talking about
here? The ship itself will be a very advanced research vessel. It will also be more of a like a training vessel for people that want to come aboard, see what it's like to live on the ocean, see what it's like to be around the sea. It also has a group dynamic, because when you're aboard a ship, you're operating 24 hours a day. And people have to be a lot more than just crew. You know, they have to be part of the feeling, and they have to be part of the vibe that this kind of a ship is going to be an example of people working together, mankind and humankind all being cooperating, bringing together not only their combined talents and energies, their nationality, their diverse experiences, but also all the different levels of technology and scientific information coming together to create something very advanced, modern, and
any big story out there in the paranormal or ufology that grabs your attention? They kind of go together in a way.
Yeah, they do. And I think that...
And they probably have a bigger connection than I like to think, even. I kind of try to keep them separated, but I'm not so sure you can.
Yeah, I'm not so sure you can either. There's, you know, out there, when you're out in the ocean, there's a lot of undersea craft. There's a lot of things going on. 80% of the Earth's surface is covered with water, and most people never get a chance to experience that part of it.
Did you ever see something you couldn't explain while you were out there, craft coming out of the water or something?
I never saw a craft coming and going from the water. Of course, we saw lights, and on my trip to Hawaii, I had a Russian submarine come up right next to my boat, and that kind of was exciting. But unfortunately, it wasn't a UFO.
It was
very easily identified.
Did they open the little deals and come out and wave at you?
No, actually, they came up right alongside of us because they were having a war games maneuver out there.
You were in the middle of the war games?
We were on the edge of it, and they brought the sub right up next to us and started moving us out of the way and moved us about 2 or 3 miles on away from where their activity was. And
they didn't communicate with you?
Not at all. In fact, as we tried to, we were about out of food. We wanted them to stock up our galley.
You know, it's kind of interesting that you mentioned that, because I was thinking, everybody takes that for granted, but I imagine that's the one limiting factor.
It really is.
Unless you just want to eat... some sort of fish, but after a while you can't do that even. I guess.
And a lot of the places in the ocean, there's not a lot of fish.
Oh, really?
When you get out in the deep water, it's very unusual to. I mean, you got a fish. A lot of fish like to hang out around the bottom, and the bottom might be 18,000, 20,000 feet deep. So, you know, you need a lot of fishing line. But there's exceptions, but, you know, you basically have to carry all your provisions with you. You have to be self contained, and water is a big item, too.
Yeah, because that's salt water. Nobody wants to drink that.
Exactly.
It wouldn't last very long.
If you've got a large enough ship, you can have a desalinator, which converts the water.
Have you ever tasted that water?
The converted water?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
I haven't either. I wonder what it tastes like.
I'm sure it's good.
Okay. I told you, folks, he's optimistic. Always optimistic. And I was thinking, boy, that's going to taste like you know what.
Oh, no.
Okay, so... To make a long story short here, you're not going to do another DVD or movie right away.
Well, you never. I never say
this is a trick
we
question,
won't
folks.
Because there's a good possibility we will. And fact is, I've got a good script, and it's a fictional one that I'd like to do. But you know, Jerry, it'd be nice
for a mature man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Be nice to do it with a budget. So how about putting the money in and financing
and then
this?
You can be in the movie.
Yeah, well, you could. Yeah, we can take care of that.
Well, they just ran, NBC ran a little piece on the fact that people do almost anything to be in a reality series. So I guess the casting couch is still alive, and maybe you can get some money from somebody. Not necessarily that way, but at least, hey, you can be in the movie.
Yeah, well, you know, this would
but
be
But you
the
have
greatest.
Scruples, so I know you just wouldn't take anybody.
Yeah, well, this would be a great reality series. The building of the ship and the creation of the team has a reality component to it, for sure. And Fran wouldn't let me take anybody, as a matter of fact. You know, the whole casting couch thing would probably have to go to you.
I'm limited at my age. No, I'm thinking in terms of, you know, a lot of people, we'll do your story if you want to pay for it. That's not what you're talking about.
No, not at all.
Yeah, and so that's what I was, to get past the joking about it.
Yeah.
I was trying to approach it from a humorous level, but no, you're the kind of guy who wants the facts laid in on the table. Folks, Robert Miles would like to do a movie with somebody, but you have to have a real story. Yeah. Well, is that right?
Well, I've got a real story, but...
Oh, you got a story.
I've got a great story, Jerry, and it's a fictional story, and so it's kind of fun, a romantic adventure, and I think that one of the challenges that anyone doing movies faces is distribution. I mean, there are so many new technologies now that are allowing us to take movies to the screen that the challenge of distribution is the big one, and I would ask people to help us out there to be able to get the word out. and put fast walkers on the agenda. Show it to your friends, show it to your family, and help with the distribution of it. Let people know that it exists out there, because without distribution, basically the product just sits on the shelf.
The lovely Carrie Cassidy just walked by, and we, of course, will be talking to Bill Ryan and Carrie Cassidy later today, and that show will be coming up soon. This show's over, Robert. You've talked us out.
All right. Well, it's been pleasure as usual, Jerry. It's tough keeping up with you. You're pretty funny, and you're a good one, good show to be on. I always enjoy it. Thank you for the opportunity.
He doesn't give me money, but compliments work with me. That's the reason I'm in the position I'm in. I could have been so. Never mind. We've already mentioned Roberta Scott once in this hour, so we won't plug her. She's the On Location producer. And our technical editor is the lovely Jane Swartley, who has taken orders from you at one time and got acquainted with everybody. You gave her phone number on a couple of... We agreed to take some orders for you on Fast Walkers because we sell it, and we appreciate the business relationship.
Well, you do a good job, Jerry. We really appreciate all of the nice promotion that you've done for the show, and we love working with you. You guys are a great team.
With that... I got to close the show before my head gets too big and won't even fit on your computer screen. Until next time, Jerry Pippin, cheers.
The doors are finally open at shopjerrypippin.com. Explore our new iShop. It's open and growing. You can use any major credit card or your checking account with our PayPal connection. Our first edition t-shirt selections features 3 different Jerry Pippin UFO files designs. In addition, we will be adding collector t-shirts from select UFO conferences, as well as several novelty items. Check us out at shopjerrypippin.com.